I'd like to welcome everyone here to this kennis of women who are coming to give chizuk and receive chizuk. And I'd also like to welcome the thousands of women who are participating in gatherings around the world. You too are very much a part of the chizuk that we're receiving and that we're giving today. Thank you. It's just a month after the tragedy, the terror attack in Har Nof. We lost four tzaddikim, and we all feel a tremendous loss and pain. Today, we are here to respond to the tragedy. This is our response. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis, we just sang it this morning, we sang it last night. It is Chanukah, and we're all here to celebrate our Chanukah, our personal rededication to Torah and mitzvos, to Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Today, like in the past, we hope our commitment to the rededication will bring great nisim, the Zman Hazeh. Since we're such a large kehila, and our unity has such a koach, a strong koach, we're going to begin by saying Tehillim together for a refuah shleima of those who are still suffering from the wounds, from their wounds, and in much need of rachamim. Mrs. Smiles.
Lamnatzeach mizmor leDavid. Yancha Adonai biyom sarah, yisagevcha shem Elohe Yaakov. Yishlach ezrecha mikodesh, umitzion yisadeka. Yizkor kol minchotecha, volatcha yidash nesela. Yitein lecha kilvavecha, v'chol atzatcha yimale. Nirarana bishuasecha, ubishem Eloheinu nidgol. Yimale Adonai kol mishalosecha. Ata yadati ki yoshia Adonai mishicho, yanehu mishmei kodsho, bigvurot yesha yimino. Eile varecha ve'eile vasusim, v'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu naskir. Hema karu v'nafalu, v'anachnu kamnu v'nitodad. Adonai hoshia, hamelech ya'anenu, v'yom karenu. Mi sheberech avotenu, Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Moshe Aaron Davidu Shlomo, hu yivarech v'yirape et hacholim, Shmuel Yerucham ben Bela, Chaim Yechiel ben Malka, Eitan ben Sara, Yitzchak ben Chaya, Bavur Shekol Hakahal Mitpalalim Bavuram, Bischarze Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yimalei Rachamim Alehem, Lachlimam Ularapotam, Ulachzikam Ulahachayotam, Vishlach Lahem Mehira, Rufuash Lema Mina Shamayim, Lechol Avarehem Ulachol Gidehem, B'tol Shar Chole Yisrael, Rufuat HaNefesh Urufuat HaGuf, Hashta Bagala Ubizman Kariv, V'nomar Amen.
Over the last 6 months, we suffered the loss of so many Kedoshim from terror attacks and from war. Hashem Yikom Damam. We learned about and experienced people dying Al Kiddush Hashem. At the same time, we also learned how to live Al Kiddush Hashem. We learned from great models, from mothers and wives who showed us the Jewish way to respond to tragedy by increasing our emunah and strengthening our observance of mitzvos. It is truly a zechus for all of us to hear from some of these women today. We'll begin with Mrs. Rachel Frankel, who led all of Klal Yisrael to such great heights of achdus and tefillah when her son Naftali was kidnapped just 6 months ago. Mrs. Frankel is a teacher at Nishmat and Matan. Thank you for coming today.
I had the wonderful zchut to be born in Eretz Yisrael when my parents made Aliyah many, many years ago. So I apologize for stumbling over my words and the accent. Half Brooklyn, half. Last time I was standing here, it was the Shloshim of our sons. And for a second there, it seems like it's a minute ago or a day ago, and then it seems like it's 1,000 years ago. So just a second. Okay. Masechet Megillah lists Hanukkah as a day that you're forbidden to eulogize. In fact, not Masechet Megillah, Masechet Tanit, I'm sorry, I didn't expect to be so emotional here. Okay, starting again. Megillah Tanit states Hanukkah is a day you're not allowed to eulogize in. In fact, Megillah Tanit, that is probably the oldest written part of Torah Sheba'al Peh, is a list of days that you're not allowed to fast and you're not allowed to eulogize in. And all of Megillat Ta'anit, with the exception of Chanukah and Purim, was canceled. And Chachamim ask, so why wasn't Chanukah canceled? And they answer, because Chanukah has a mitzvah, lighting candles. So cancel the Chag and cancel the mitzvah. They say, no, this has a special quality of Pirsum HaNes, spreading the light of the miracle. And you can't cancel it. So we can't eulogize today. But we can learn Torah. And we can celebrate the life of Avodat Hashem, of the four Kedoshim that were murdered. Because a day that has a mitzvah in them can't be canceled. Mitzvah in it can't be canceled. And a life full of Torah and mitzvah and Avodat Hashem lives on forever. The mitzvah of lighting candles in Chanukah started out as lighting one candle every day per household. And people wanted to grow. People wanted to excel. People wanted to beautify their own mitzvot. So we see how it grows into each person in the household lighting a candle and lighting candles according to the days. And here we have this famous machloket of Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. Bet Shammai omrim yom rishon madlik shmona mikan va'elach pochet veholech. Bet Hillel omrim yom rishon madlik achat mikan va'elach mosif veholech. So Bet Hillel do what we are familiar with. First day, we had last night one candle, tonight two, tomorrow three, and we go on until eight. Bet Shammai want to start with a full Chanukiah, eight, and then count down, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. So we'll try for a few minutes here to understand the ideas of Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai and maybe the general qualities of Hillel and Shammai and maybe a bit of an application of that. So with Hillel, we understand we're celebrating one day of miracle. And then, wow, it's already 2 days of miracle. And it grows into 3 days of miracle and 4 days of miracle. And every day we celebrate this ongoing process. We actually don't even know it's going to stop at eight. Maybe it will continue till 15 or 20 or forever. We add light and we add light. And we're celebrating every extra day of Nes. We're experiencing it and we're taking it with us. But what does Bet Shammai want? What's this idea of starting full-blown eight and counting down? It's like, Moridim Bakodesh? Doesn't sound logical. So Bet Shammai, as Bet Shammai goes, is very mesudar. He knows the calculations. It takes 8 days to create new, pure olive oil that we need for the menorah. And really, we won't be quiet and we won't be satisfied until we have this big new barrel of pure Shemen Zayit Zach that we can work with. And then we can have some peace of mind. Actually, I had to connect to the different sides of my family. My side of the family is Hasidic. My husband's side of the family is Yekim, from German descent. So I understood Hillel, how we celebrate every day of Nes. And then I had to go into the Yekim state of mind to understand Shammai. You want to know that you have your avodat Hashem set out for you, that you have everything you need to really light the menorah every day. And you start out with 8 because you know it's going to take 8 days. But you go down, it's like counting down in NASA. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And the big, the great experience is when you get to 0 and you have a new supply, not miraculous, real supply of oil that you can do your mitzvah with a quiet mind. And really, this is the shita, the general method that we can see by Hillel and Shammai in many ways. It's very famous that they had the different way of preparing for Shabbat, right? Shammai would start the week and find the best thing in the market, buy it and say, this will be for Shabbat. And then the next day, he would maybe find something even better. So we'd eat yesterday's food and leave this new food for Shabbat. And that's how we would go all week, finding something even better, preparing to get the best for Shabbat. So from the first day of the week, he's constantly focused on the goal, on the, like we said with Hanukkah, on the time where you can have a full barrel of oil. Yeah, you can celebrate Shabbat. So Sunday is just one day on the way to Shabbat, and Monday is another day on the way to Shabbat. Hillel, the Gemara says, אבל הלל לזקן מידה אחרת הייתה לו, שכל מעשיו לשם שמיים, שנאמר, ברוך השם יום יום. Hillel had a different way of doing things. כל מעשיו לשם שמיים, all his deed are focused on Avodat Hashem. What? Shammai's deeds weren't focused on Avodat Hashem? Probably the focus here is on Kol. Yeah? By Hillel, everything he did, celebrating Sunday is Sunday for Avodat Hashem, and Monday is Monday for Avodat Hashem, and Tuesday. By Shammai, Sunday is just a stepping stone for Shabbat. By Hillel, Sunday is the best day right now to be Oved Hashem in this world. Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel go on with this. They have arguments on who was created first, the earth or the sky. And they each have a pasuk. One pasuk that says the sky was created first, and another pasuk that says that the, according to the order of the words, that the earth was created first. And when they want to bring re'ayot, proofs for their method, they say, "Habonei b'shamayim alota v'agadato al eretz yisada." Hillel says, "Olam hazeh is our home; it's our house, and heaven is the attic." You first build the house, then you build the attic. And Shammai says, "Hashamayim kisei ve'aretz hadom leraglai." The focus is on the heaven, and this earth, it's just a stool. It's something to rest my feet on. Yeah? And we realize that Hillel and Shammai have a way of, a different focus, a different way of looking at things. Where Shammai says, obviously, ha'ikar b'shamayim, ha'ikar is looking up to the heaven. And anything on the way is something we have to do. And Hillel says, this is the home. This is the house that we've been giving for as many days as we're given. And we never know if Sunday will be the last day or Monday will be the last day. Maybe we'll manage to get to Shabbat. But our main arena of doing things and living fully is here, in this home, in this earth, right now. Kshehakol l'shem shamayim. Hillel says, there's a beautiful dialogue in Avot Rabbi Natan. V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim kehillel. I'll read in Hebrew and I'll translate. Kshehaya Hillel yotze l'makom, היו אומרים לו, להיכן אתה הולך? לעשות מצווה אני הולך. מה מצווה הלל? לבית הכיסא אני הולך. Okay? They turn to Hillel and they say, where are you going? Saying, I'm going to do a mitzvah. What mitzvah, Hillel? I'm going to the bathroom. Then they ask again, Hillel, where are you going? And he says, I'm going to do a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? לבית המרחץ אני הולך. I'm going to the sauna to wash my body. וכי מצווה היא זו? אמר להם הן, בשביל לנקות את הגוף. And he brings a metaphor there about the workers of the king that just clean the statues of the king that are out in the city. And Hillel says, we that are created b'tzelem Elokim, when we take care of our body, that's the mitzvah. אנו שנבראנו בצלם ודמות שנאמר כי בצלם אלוקים עשה את האדם על אחת כמה וכמה. שמאי לא היה אומר כך, אלא יעשה חובותינו עם הגוף הזה. שמאי is very focused. He says, the things you must do. You must take care of your health, you must take care of your body, but let's not turn that into the main thing. And Hillel says, I want everything, every act, every deed to be part of my avodat Hashem. Hillel says, למקום שאני הולך, שם רגליים מוליכות אותי. למקום שאני אוהב, שם רגליים מוליכות אותי. The place where I love, that's the place where my feet take me. And it seems like, what? Are you not critical of your way? Are you not checking constantly where you're going? But Hillel says, למקום שאני אוהב. I'm so focused on what I love and what my priorities are and where I want to go that my feet already get their instructions straight from my heart. That's Hillel's experience. Now, of course, we all need some of Shammai's qualities in our life, yeah? To plan, not to take crazy risks, to know where we're going, to be shakul, you know, maybe or whatever, but my English goes out. But halacha kevet hilel, okay? Halacha kevet hilel means kol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim, baruch Hashem yom yom, celebrating ner ishon v'ner sheni v'ner shlishi, and going through the process and experiencing the miracle and living it be'avodat Hashem fully, as much as you can. This also has a lot with the way we conceive time. I was telling myself, in the eyes of Netzach, how do you say? Eternity. In the eyes of eternity, what's the difference between 16 years and 60 years? I must say, it's easier to say in my mind than in my heart. But it's something about the way we experience time. And the tzaddikim that got to live 60, but not 80, but not 100. I spoke to a mother that was fighting for the life of her son, even though she knew there was no cure. It was just living one day at a time. Another day, and another day, as long as it lasts, and making it count. By Bet Shammai, when you count down from 8 to 7 to 6 to 5, you get to zero, you finally have your new supply of olive oil. Then the real celebration starts, because you can live your normal, safe life. But by Bet Hillel, you go from 1 to 3 to 4 to 5. At 8, there's a great celebration. Your windows are full of light. But what happens the next day? Is that a letdown? Is that like post-Hanukkah depression? So in Chassidut, this one is from Reb Nachman, he talks about how we really, this we all know, we really can't differentiate between miracles and everyday life. A life that's under Hashgacha every minute is an endless series of miracles. And the idea of celebrating a holiday, most of our holidays are based on celebrating miracles. The idea of celebrating a holiday is to make us aware of the concept of miracle. And at 8 candles, we fully celebrate the miracle of Nes Pach HaShemen. But then the next day, our challenge is to start recognizing the miracles in our everyday life, day by day by day by day. And there are miracles all over there. So I offer this to you as it is, but I also want to use it as a metaphor. Because this summer, unbelievably, you said 6 months, there were horrible things going on, horrendous, very difficult things. But there was also so much glory, so much wonder, so much Achdut Israel. And I fear this concept because it's such a cliche. Achdus. But if you opened your eyes in the time of the kidnapping, in the time of the war, in the time of these horrible terror attacks, you looked at the people, at Am Yisrael, they were going out of the way, out of, you know, just pouring over with goodwill, with love for each other, with connection. I risk repeating myself by saying somebody called our house at the time of the kidnapping and said, I'm considered a non-affiliated Jew. I want to tell you there's no such thing as a non-affiliated Jew. I feel so connected. And it was all over Eretz Israel, and it was all over the diaspora, and it was totally non-denominational. In the States, there were Hasidim and modern Orthodox and Reform and conservatives and so-called non-affiliated, all gathering together. And a month ago, when the world saw the pictures from Har Nof, everybody felt this need to come together. So, in a way, this was a highlight. The highlight, you know, when Israelis say, oh, we're very good at war, they mean it cynically. They mean, we're not really so good, but at war we know how to do it. And I want to say the opposite. Let's use this to light up our everyday, because it's real. It's the real reality of our life. We are connected, deeply connected. And we can light up our days with, you know, endless acts of recognizing the good in each other, in all the chesed that Hashem is doing for us, and just making every minute mean and be full of just value and connection and mitzvah. Chanukah Sameach. Thank you.
Chazal tell us, Bizchus Nashim Tzidkaniyos Nigalu Avoseinu Mimitzrayim Uvizchus Nashim Asidin Lihigael. It was in the merit of our righteous women that we left the country of Egypt, and it will be in their merit that we will once again be redeemed. Throughout the generations, it has been the strong emunah of our women that have moved Am Yisrael forward. Once again, it is the women who are thrust into the limelight. And we will now meet two of these women, two of these Nashim Tzidkaniyos. Although they have recently suffered a tremendous loss, they inspire us through their actions and through their words to get closer to Hashem and work hard to bring the Geula. We're going to begin with the honor of hearing from Mrs. Yakoba Kupinski, the wife of Rav Aryeh Kupinski. Zal.
Thank you so much, everyone. You know, just standing here, I don't know if, I know not supposed to be crying, not supposed to be, you know, Avelim on Hanukkah, but I don't even feel the tears are coming necessarily because of my husband, and just seeing how much potential we all have when we're here together. And I'm sorry, it's just amazing of how we're all inspired, but we're all here together, and we're all, you know, waiting, trying to improve, trying to figure out what we could do in this situation. I think it's a comfort, you know. As hard as it is losing my husband, I just need to, you know, thank everyone for being there. It's you know, my kids don't have their father around, but to be able to have this legacy to tell my children, you know, look at all the good that your father brought into the world. Look at, you know, how amazing, what a schus we have. Even though, you know, your father won't be there, my son's sitter party and his bar mitzvah and, you know, my daughter's bas mitzvah next year, but knowing that what their father did and how everyone has come together and how, you know, all of you, each one of you is part of this is, you know, carries us through. Yeah, we start yesterday. We had the Hakamas Matseva before Hanukkah. You know, we wanted to do it again so we're not crying on Hanukkah. And, you know, just unreal. And then afterwards, we're, you know, then I come home and trying to set up the Chanukiyas, and I'm going through my husband's box of wicks and his menorah from last year and trying to, I don't even know, figure out the little glass cups and just the technical aspects of putting the wicks inside of the cups and how the wicks fit in and what those little metal pieces are, all these technical things. And at some point I'm just like thinking, okay, what am I doing? It's, you know, I look back to those years, you know, my teenage years where you imagine this like perfect life where, you know, I'm sitting there with my husband and, you know, I have a nice easy job that's fulfilling and wonderful children that go to sleep early without complaining and wake up smiling and happy. Always like what I make them for lunch, and you know, and then suddenly I'm like, wait, one second, I'm at my husband's matseva and trying to figure out the Chanukiyas because he's not here, and it's just this, yeah, that's life. It's trying to figure out how I'm suddenly, I mean, this is just, it's not according to that plan that I had as a teenager. It's this, you know, it's not the ideal that, you know, I'd like to be doing. But this is where we are. I think all of us, we all have, I think individually, all of us have things where, you know, this is just not the ideal of what we imagined our life to be. You know, whether, you know, one aspect or various aspects, we all have those things that are just not, like, what happened to that perfect life I imagined? And then, of course, as a nation also, we're, you know, here with all these sorrows happening, I mean, brutally murdered in a shul, that's just not the ideal, not what we imagine serving Hashem to be, but that's where we are. And it's hard, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to get the Torah, Hashem was delaying the Torah because he was waiting, he was putting the crowns on the letters. And he said that in the future, Rabbi Akiva will be able to figure out halacha from the crowns on the letters. So what we're, there's the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu and there's the Torah of Rabbi Akiva. And of course it's one Torah, it's always the same Torah. But there's a Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the ideal world, that's, you know, working in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, and having Nevuah. And then here we are today of the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, that's not the ideal. It's, you know, trying to figure out where we are in Galus, our personal Galus, and as a nation, figuring out, you know, what do I do from here? And the difference in Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the letter. But what Rabbi Akiva added is the crowns on the letters. So that those, when we work through situations in the not ideal situation, when we're in galus, when we're having hardships, that's creating the crowns on the letters. Our glory, our crowns come from going through these motions and doing what we can and surviving through these hard times that are just not ideal. But in the end, that's what's giving us our crowns. That's going to be our glory, and that's going to be what brings Mashiach, is showing Hashem that, look what we're able to do, even when things aren't ideal. I think we're, yeah, I always, you know, go back. And when Arya used to, you know, my husband used to always help out in the shul, and I always just have this vision. He used to help out in the shul, and I would go home with the kids, and we'd have this, you know, mutual understanding. You know, I'm helping out in the shul, and I'd go home, and I'm going to go home and get the kids ready, you know, get the kids ready and get the food ready for lunch. And there was idea, you know, then we'll meet up at the end. And so here I am, you know, again, I just have that voice in my head. I didn't get to say goodbye to my husband, but I have that, that picture in my head of, okay, Arya, you're in the shul taking care of what you need to do and taking care of what you need to do in Shemayim. And I'm down here with the kids, getting things ready, you know, when I could with the kids. And of course, it's not ideal, not what I would expect, you know, what we learned in seminary about, you know, getting dinner ready on time for your husband and learning Torah, you know, letting your husband learn Torah. But, you know, that's the situation I'm in now. And it's, you know, I guess a little frightening, a little overwhelming, I think, because I really don't know what I'm doing as a single mother. As much as I'm standing up here, I really have, you know, day by day, just asking Hashem to give me strength. But I think we're all, again, all of us are in, you know, all of us have our personal gullus where we just feel, you know, Hashem, just give me strength through this. We don't know what we're doing. But it's those non-ideal situations, us getting through it, us doing what we can, that's bringing us our crown. The whole Hanukkah story, and we have, you know, the little flask of oil that, you know, they found. You know, obviously the not the ideal situation of having, you know, plenty of oil for 8 days, but that little flask was that, you know, that's what they had, and that's what they worked with, and that's what brought the Hanukkah light, this great light that's, you know, we have year after year, comes from, you know, from that little, from taking a non-ideal situation and doing the best we can out of it, and Hashem giving, you know, giving that special help. So I think right now we're here making our own Hanukkah story. I think everyone feels, you know, we're part of history. We're making history now. We can take with all the events that are happening and get together, and, you know, we're going to bring the Geula together. This is our chance. Every one of us, I think, you know, it's hard. Sometimes events happening can seem so random, and why is it happening? But Hashem just, you know, so custom makes, you know, on a national level for everybody and individually, every single Nisayon, everything we're going through is so custom made for each person. And, you know, we each have to do our part and just trying to do what we can, even though it's difficult, even though it's not ideal, and even though we're in galus and signs, we feel we're a bit lost and don't even know what we're supposed to be doing. But we each have a piece, you know, the Geula is coming, it feels like it's coming so soon. And we're each, you know, each of us have an important piece in that. Hashem gave each of us our own qualities, our own special situations to bring the Geula closer. And that's, you know, it's all in our hands. It's not, you know, something we can say someone else is taking care of. We really, each of us is really a piece of the puzzle, and such an important puzzle that we each have to do our part. And it's really, you know, Hashem's Melech Machayim Lachim. He deserves to have us get together in the Beis HaMikdash. It's wonderful, all of us here, you know, gathering for the Shloshim of these four Kedoshim. But what Hashem really deserves is for all of us in the Beis HaMikdash, all of us together, serving Hashem and having His glory shower down on everybody. So we all just need to do our part. And B'mehavah B'yameinu Hashem, we all work together. Mashiach should come quickly.
Yaakoba, your crown is like huge, huge, huge. Thank you. It's an honor to introduce another one of the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, Mrs. Chaya Levine, wife of Rav Kalman Levine, Zal. Mrs. Levine is the director of the Women's Division of Ner La'elef, an international Kiruv training organization. Immediately after she and her family got up from Shiva, she focused not on her own personal pain, but on the pain of Klal Yisrael. She wanted to help women use the pain that we all feel to get closer to Hashem and closer to each other. And she initiated this international kenis and has been the driving force behind it. Thank you very much, Mrs. Levine.
I want to thank everybody for being here today, but I also want to thank Rivki Siegel, who organized this so wonderfully, and who without her, this would not be happening. Thank you. Okay. Can people hear me? Okay. I want to say thank you to everybody, not just for being here today, but for everybody's outpouring of love and emotions and support, and food, and letters, and all the Kabbalahs that people took upon themselves. And I feel so grateful to all of you, And so grateful to Hashem for being a part of such a wonderful, amazing group of women. And I feel that if we unite together for the common goal of increasing goodness, mitzvah observance, and kavod shamayim, we can gain perspective on what's important in our lives. We really have the power to change the world. You know, they keep trying to make the world a very dark place, but we have the power to turn on the light. Everybody here, really. And it's not a coincidence that this tragedy happened, and I don't like to use a tragedy because their lives were so full and there's going to be so much light that comes out of this. But it's not a coincidence that it happened on Chaf Hei Cheshvan and that the Shloshim came out on Chaf Hei Kislev. And there has to be the message. And the first message that I thought of came from Rav Alba and Ali Shore, where he says, Gzeros, tragedies and decrees, Eino ba'ot b'li siba, they don't come for no reason. Im lo ha'isa hisrashlus ba'avoda, lo hayu gzeirot yevanim. It's a very interesting word, hisrashlus. He doesn't say they didn't serve God. They didn't do mitzvahs. They were misrashel ba'avoda. They slacked off. They did the mitzvahs, but they didn't do it. They did it without the bren. It wasn't what made their life important. It wasn't what they were excited about in their lives. They did the action, but the kavana, the neshama of it, was missing. They davened, you know, but they davened quickly because I have so much to do today. They followed the halacha, but they looked for the kulas. You know, you can always find, if you ask enough rabbanim, you know, you can find something somewhere. So Hashem sent the Greeks. They didn't kick them out of Eretz Yisrael. They were in Eretz Yisrael. They had the Beis HaMikdash, and the Greeks' message was considered enlightenment, right? You can be a great person. You can develop yourself and be the best that you can be as a two-dimensional person. Just forget about the inner self. It's only your body and your intellect that counts. There's enough out there in the external world to keep us busy for a lifetime. There's books to read, places to go, people to meet, a day at the spa and the beauty parlor. You don't have to be good, just look good. They developed scientific observation. What we can see, we can know. And we can make the world a better place. Science has really improved the world with all their weapons. And by, you know, I wanted to buy some face cream. You go there, there's all the scientific explanations of why this particular face cream is going to help you. It just struck me when I thought about that the Arabs didn't use any advanced weapons. We're so into being politically correct and doing it, you know, just right and looking right. They don't seem to care about being politically correct. Most of the Jews in the times of the Greeks, they bought into this and changed their identities. It's a lot easier to eat bagels and lox and wear a Jewish star than it is to focus on ourselves and think about who am I really? Where do I really want to go? And to work on improving myself step by step. The Greek army came in and defiled the oil. Did you ever stop to think about that? Can you imagine the American army or the Russian army coming in, and what's their mission with all their weapons and their strength? To defile the oil? There's got to be a deeper message there, right? And I think the message is that for the Greeks, it was enough to just eat those beautiful, plump olives. You know, they're big, they're beautiful, they're tasty. Who needs olive oil? It takes a lot of time to create olive oil, pure olive oil. It's a whole process. It's hard work. Let's just eat olives. Who stood up against this? It was the women and the Kohanim. I'm going to focus on the women because we're a group of women here. So the reason the women were the ones who stood up because the women know who they are. A woman has to know who she wants to be, and she stands for Pnimius. It's her essence. A woman has Bina. Bina is intuitive internal wisdom. You can't prove it, you can't see it. It's emotional intelligence. Try explaining it to somebody. We're the experts of Avoda Shebelev. Okay? When we feel pain, we cry, and we cry out. That's not a weakness, that's a strength. That's the Kol Kol Yaakov that we fight wars with. It's our prayers that are going to fight the war. We change decrees with our cries. We also have beauty, but we have to use it in the right way to be beautiful on the inside as well as the outside. To make our homes not showcases, but beautiful, warm, welcome places to come into, do mitzvahs in, full of love and Torah. To make beautiful meals, to nurture our families, to honor Shabbos, to send to people simchas or to people in need. And clothing, which, by the way, the Greeks kind of made away with. How much time and effort do we put into our clothing? In deciding how much we, how, you know, what we're going to wear today. I don't know about anybody else, but the past few days, the weather kept changing, you know, cold in the morning, warm in the afternoon, cold at night. It took me 20 minutes one morning to try and figure out what to wear. And then I thought to myself, do I spend 20 minutes davening shachris in the morning? Do I spend so much time getting ready that then I rush through my davening because I don't have enough time? What about shopping, right? When I'm looking for a couch, I'm going to check every detail. You know, I go shopping with a teenage daughter. She notices every detail on every piece of clothing, right? Do I have that same eye for detail when I keep the halacha and a mitzvah? It wasn't... Oh, I want to just say one other thing. Do I, and also if we're talking about shopping, I just want to mention this. Do I really need to buy this? Is this something I really need or want? Maybe this is something that should be left outside and not brought inside. It took daring, oaths, and gvura, courage, to stand up against the Greeks and to do what's right. And they did it against all odds. I mean, really, if you think about it, you know, again, we're so used to thinking about, yeah, the Hashmonaim, they got up and they fought the war, and had, you know, but really, if you think about it, what would happen today if our Gedolim stood up? Rav Steinman, Rav Lau, three Chassidish Admorim, Rav Yosef, and they said, Mila Shem Elai. Would we answer? What would that army look like? And they came to fight against, and the American army or the Russian army would come against us to fight Israel, and these would be the generals. The Or Gedaliah says, Af sheyada ba'atzmam, even though they knew themselves, shalafi kocham, that according to their strength, e efshar lahem lenatzeach, it was impossible for them to win, ubekoach ha'azus dekdusha hazos, and with the strength of the daring of Kedusha, Basiyu Milamala, help came from above. Vinatnu Lahem Hakochot Lenatzeach Hayevanim, And they were given the power to fight the Greeks. Vizet, Sarich Kol Adam Ladat, and every single person has to know. Ki koach zenish arla olam lekol hadorot, that power of strength to stand up, it's for here for all the generations. Shiebi yecholtam la'amod ba'azus neged kol hamafriim, that we can stand up with daring and courage, and know that Hashem va'az Hashem isayam, and Hashem will help us. V'natan lahem hakochot la'amod neged hayetzer hara, to give us the strength to stand up against the evil forces in the world. Today, I think we know that these terrorists are everywhere. Every time there was a pigua, my husband would gather us all together, and he would say, it's not about politics. It's not about Arabs. It's about us. This is a wake-up call to change. When something world-shattering happens, we have to rebuild the world. We have to gain perspective about what's important and central in our lives. Is it really worth getting upset about? Just fill in the blank, right? We have to respond in a big way. Our she'ifos, our aspirations, have to be big, because this is so big. You know, starting 6 months ago, it's hard to believe it's only been 6 months, and going onward, and there were so many piguim before, so I don't even want to say starting 6 months ago. When the sirens went off that morning, before I even knew what it was, I thought it was 7 in the morning. What a wake-up call. Why didn't I wake up before? Let's wake up now. Or Gedaliah says about the Chashmonaim that the reason that they were successful was that they realized that there was an awakening from above, a wake-up call. A wake-up call is an opportunity to end the darkness. And they acted on it. And there have been so many times when Klal Yisrael could have possibly acted on it. I don't know, but one thing I do now know is now is the opportunity for us. We have this opportunity now. You know, they called the operation this summer the Mivtza. I thought, Mivtza Tzuk Eitan, a Mivtza. We also have a Mivtza now. It's a sale, it's an opportunity, it's the deal of our lifetime. All four of these Kedoshim had one thing that I know about each of them, and I knew almost all of them personally, including Rav Rotman, who needs a Refuah Shleiman, Golds, everybody. We live on the same block. We daven in the same shul. They were all men of great aspiration. They were all Ba'alei Aliyah. They were growing and coming closer to Hashem and lighting up people's lives with Torah and Chesed. Each and every person here is a person who wants to grow and change, or you wouldn't be here. I'm sure every person here, we're already working on ourselves. And we think, like I used to say this to my husband, I have so much to change. I can't change overnight. I can't change everything overnight. But I can make a choice now to say, I'm uniting with all the women in Klal Yisrael, not just the women sitting here, the women who are also going to be watching the videos all over the world, the women who aren't watching the videos but want to be a part of this, even if they don't know it yet. We have to unite and say, Hashem, we hear the call of Mi LaHashem Elai, and we're ready to respond. We're not victims of circumstance or terror. We are people of choice. We choose to wake up every morning and say, I'm ready to face whatever challenges you have for me to what to do, and whatever battles you want me to fight today, because I want to be that pure olive oil that lights up the world. One person at a time, one night at a time, one mitzvah at a time. Hashem wants all of us. He loves all of us. He values every one of us. Each of us is that candle, and Klal Yisrael needs every one of us. We really have to do this now. So, I'm a very practical person. I'm not the person that usually stands up here giving the speeches. I'm the person who's usually behind the scenes organizing, creating projects and programs. So one of the things that happened was so many people wrote me letters about what they wanted to do, but also a lot of people said, we don't know what to do. So I want to, this is based on the way my husband taught me and the way I think he taught all of his students. Again, aim high. We can wake up every morning and literally say or cry out to Hashem, I am a bas aliyah. I am ready for the geula. In whatever words are good for you. But then we have to show Hashem that we mean it. Take on one action, one small Kabbalah. Think about the categories, right? There's 613 mitzvahs, so there are lots of categories. Some people find it difficult to control their speech or to speak nicely. For some people, it's the way they think about others. For others, it's our dress, generosity, patience, our midos. Pick one category. You can use a notebook or a buddy system or create groups of women who get together to work on this. You can, if you know what to choose, then you don't need me. But if you don't, we've created a model of what this could look like. Everybody got one of these. Okay, women to women. This is just a model. We've picked categories and we've broken them down to practical things. It's funny because I showed it to somebody and they said, I don't remember which one it was because I picked such small things. They said, there's such big problems in the world. Is controlling your voice for an hour really going to make a difference? I was thinking about my house at supper time. Yeah, it really could make a big difference if we all did not raise our voice at supper times in our house. Okay? But yeah, that is how we're going to change the world. One action at a time. Picking something that's small, because when we work on one thing, it also has an effect on our whole day. I want to just mention that somebody also gave me the three simple steps to Ahavas Chinam. Okay, so that's another thing that somebody could pick. I don't know if they're here yet, but I was approached by, I don't know if it was exactly the author, but there's going to be a new tefillah project based on praying with fire. And if the cards aren't here, then people should look for it because it's going to be a 5-minute method of working on tefillah. Any of these are good options. I also want to mention that Rabbi Travis, who knows all of us, wrote a book. It was unbelievable. It's one of the miracles of Hanukkah. He did it in less than 8 days. It's called Living On, and it's on sale in the lobby. And it's, the idea of that book is also to focus on the different things we can change. But ladies, we really have to know. We really have to commit. We really have to change the world. Because we can do it. We really can. One light at a time. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mrs. Frankel, Mrs. Kopinski, Mrs. Levine, May you be comforted knowing how much stronger Klal Yisrael is becoming, dafka through the darkness that we have experienced. And Yehi Ratzon, that this should be the end of our darkness and we should come together to celebrate Simchas with you and with your families. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis, we're ready to sing our song of rededication, thanks to our Nashim Tzidkaniyos this morning, who instructed us, directed us, inspired us to do so. And many years ago when the Chashmonaim were ready for their rededication, all that they could find was that one small jar of oil, like you said, and Hashem made incredible miracles from that one small jar of oil. And now it's our turn to take our one light, and Hashem will take our light that we do the best that we can do with, and bring incredible miracles, Bazman Hazeh, just like we say, last night we said it, we'll say it tonight, Mirtz Hashem. As we conclude the kenis, I just would like to thank the staff at OU Israel, the staff at Ner Le'elef, and thank you to women all over the world in over 45 communities who have organized a kenis like this, which will use the video from this program, and bring people together, bring women together to make those small changes which will change the world. Thank you to those women, and thank you to Yaffa Palti for coordinating the international kenis. We end our kenis this morning the way that we end Hadlokas HaNeros every night of Hanukkah, with the last paragraph of Mo's Tzor. So I'd like to introduce to you Mrs. Shira Smiles to share with us that beautiful ending.
The Mo's Tzor focuses on Jewish history, Mitzrayim, Purim story, the Hanukkah story. The highlight of the Mo's Tzor is the final paragraph. Chasov Zroa Kachacha. We ask Hashem to reveal his strong hand. V'karev Keitz HaYeshua, and we daven that the Yeshua, the salvation, should be brought closer. But not only that, we ask for Nekom Nikmat Avdecha Mumah HaRashah. We ask that there should be a Nekama, a vengeance against all those who do evil. Ki Arka Shav En Keitz Li Mehara. The time has come. Dechei Admon, take the Admoni, the one who is called the Red One, Esav. Betzel Tzamon, put him where he belongs, in the shadow of Gehenom. And Hakem Lanu Roim Shiva, and give us, and bring for us, the Redeemers, the seven shepherds. My friends, we know, as Rav Pinkus notes, and it's Sefer Shabbos Malkasa. It is when Klal Yisrael have a desire, when Klal Yisrael beg and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yeshua, when it's a value for us, when Sipita LeYeshua, the longing for salvation, is part and parcel of our everyday lives, that's when the Geula will come. When we have our daily planner, and part of our day, we enter into the possibility, yes, I have carpool. Yes, I have to go shopping. But what would be, how will my day change if Mashiach should come today? That yearning, that desire is the spark of what Hanukkah is about. Arachti ner l'mashichai, the ner Hanukkah, the oraganos, is the light that ignites that fire and passion of that vision of the future. When we sing Mo's Tzor at night, and it's just to ignite that passion for the entire year, we have to, with full kavana and with full intent, daven to Hashem, Chasov Zro Kachacha, it is time to reveal your hand, V'karev Keitz HaYeshua, and bring the salvation, because we are longing, we are waiting, and this is our deepest desire.